Hello and welcome to the Linux Lads. This is season 6, episode 13. Lucky for some. With me today, I'm Shane, of course, and with me today are Mike and Connor. How are you?
Hello.
Greetings.
two polar opposite greetings there. I like that. I was going to tell a joke, but I thought I'd just actually read you a headline that I just saw before I started recording. So Bolsonaro in hospital as hiccups persist for more than 10 days. So I just thought that was the most hilarious thing I've seen all week. So I just thought I'd share that in lieu of a joke. So first story I think we'll go to is something Mike put in there. Ubuntu 21.10 with GNOME 40 for now.
It's a story that OMG Ubuntu wrote about, and the 21.10 Ubuntu is going to be, well, it's Ubuntu 21.10 is being developed. Obviously, it's going to hit the repos in what is the 10th month? I think October, right?
Yeah.
During the development cycle, they obviously are making adjustments to it, and now they added GNOME 40. So the previous Ubuntu 21.04 was based, I think, on GNOME 3.38. This one is around 40. It keeps some of the Ubuntu unique characteristics, like you've got the icon bar or whatever you call that, the kind of dock thing, still down the left side. And it also gets some of the new GNOME 40 things. So you have the application overview with the two little windows above it, and horizontal workspaces. So that's great. According to some other OMG Ubuntu article, because that's where I get my news from, they say that it's not going to be the final version. Probably it's going to be GNOME 40, and I don't know if they still keep to the odd and even numbering, but it's either 41 or 42. Probably 41. I think they got rid of the thing that release versions were numbered with even numbers. So so it's not final, but because I don't think there are any like major massive UI overhauls expected for GNOME 41, then we starting to have a pretty good idea what the Ubuntu 21.10 is going to look like. I've been using GNOME 40 on Fedora though, but I've been using it for since the beta of Fedora 34.
It's before it was cool.
That's because I'm such a hipster. But yeah, no, it's great. It works fine for me. There is, if you don't like GNOME, then you probably won't like GNOME 40. But it's amazing. And the work that there is another thing in the show notes that is interesting, and that's got something to do with a blog post that one of the core GNOME developers wrote about why they are doing things that they are doing, and that they kind of do what they think is good rather than what they feel pressured to. And Ubuntu kind of strikes the kind of counterbalance to it. So if you install GNOME 40 on Fedora, you get vanilla, or if you don't install Fedora with GNOME 40, you get the vanilla experience, kind of. And that's what the GNOME and the Fedora teams intended, but it doesn't have niceties like desktop folder, and it doesn't have niceties like the little status icons. So if somebody sends you a Mattermost message, for example, you miss the notification, you might miss that because you don't have that little badge on there. Whereas Ubuntu so far have been doing a very good job of taking what's good in GNOME and kind of normalizing it for wider audience. You know, they kind of have to because they are the most popular desktop and desktop Linux, but I think they are kind of finding the good balance between what's the kind of progressive avant-garde GNOME team and what kind of the majority of people probably expects from a computer.
For me, just reading through the article here, I mean, I long suspected that the in the 2110 release they were going to switch over to Wayland by default. It would make sense because then they would get to battle harden it before the next LTS release will come up, which would be the next release after that, wouldn't it be? The 2204 would be LTS, wouldn't it? Wasn't 2004 LTS? And then
I'm pretty much finished. Yeah.
Yeah, so that would make sense that they'll be testing new features coming out before the LTS release with the view of making Wayland the default. So that was the, kind of in the back of my mind. And now that they're switching it to Norm 40 in this release, it makes perfect sense that they would do this in an interim release. They get to test out all the little quirks and smooth over any bugs or user hiccups, or not user hiccups, but user interface hiccups, user experience hiccups that aren't quite smooth and everything like that, and then get those out of the way before they introduce it in the LTS. In with regards to GNOME 40, to me it looks absolutely stunning. It's looks like it's all integrated. It's the icons kind of look nice, and I'm not really a fan of GNOME icons up until now, and they seem to be nicely designed. Don't know if I would. I mean, it's not something that I'd be like, eh. I'd kind of perturbed by this. I kind of want to switch away from this immediately. I'm like, it's fine. It's nicely designed. I mean, who knows? In a couple of months, I might, just for the sake of a change, up it, but I'm not immediately offended by it. Same with the Adwaita team. The icons are a bit muted. Just the folder icons in when you're in the File Explorer just are a bit muted for me. That is a bit bleh and boring for me, but so that might be something that might bother me and might cause me to switch up my icons if I was using it. I would probably switch to a dark theme, and I know there is Adwaita dark, or is it Adwaita or Adwadia? I can't remember.
It would be, wouldn't it be Yaru on Ubuntu though?
This is true. Sorry, I'm just looking from the screenshots, which are probably an early build of this. And that's a very good point. And the Yaru theme is actually a very nice theme. And the dark theme, I think the most recent release, didn't they switch over to the dark theme by default?
I think they have got three themes, light, dark, and the kind of in between where part of the UI is white and part of the UI is dark, and I think they are keeping the middle ground.
Is that like high contrast?
The high contrast is basically just done for accessibility and that point of view. It's a hybrid between the two. Essentially, you'd have dark header bars and you'd have light main part of the window. So let's say your File Explorer might have a dark header bar, but then the body of the window itself of the File Explorer would be light. So it's a hybrid between the two.
Kind of reminds me of old Ubuntu with the dark brown kind of title bars and then or window bars or title bars, I'm not sure of the terminology, and then the rest of the window was like dark, like kind of a creamy color.
Yeah, but potentially. I kind of like dark all of the things.
Yeah, generally I do as well. On that note, I was actually trying out Pop! OS over the last week because that's my daily driver, and I finally upgraded it a few days ago, maybe a week ago. I've been using it ever since, pretty heavily in the last 3 days, but I'll get to that in a moment. My initial impression of it is that it's not as good as it used to be, in some small finicky ways, but in fairness, there are ways that you can change in the settings, so it's not that bad. Like the new launcher, for instance, I can see why some people would like it, because like the default launcher anyway, it's more like U-Launcher. It's very, very similar. And it is a nice launcher, it is, but it's I don't know, it's like I would treat the super key more like an alt tab kind of thing, you know what I mean? So I use alt tab a lot more now because I'm not using the super key as much, but you can select your currently running applications when you hit the super key. It's just, it's not in a way that flows for me, you know. Like I love that activities overview in GNOME. So I've been trying to bind that on my StreamPy, but I can't figure out how without changing my keyboard bindings, which is annoying. I'll get to that in a moment. But the activities overview is great. Like I can just like see, because I lose all my windows all the time, and then I have to just go boom, all right, let's see all my windows at the same time, arrow keys, there we go, and I get the one I want. Alt tab doesn't always work for me because you know, you can have multiple instances of the same thing, like browsers and stuff, so it gets a bit confusing. So you're only seeing the icons. That leads me on to my next thing. Well, I didn't really finish talking about Pop OS, sorry. That's the only real major difference I can see with this version of Pop OS is that launcher behavior, and you know, the activities is slightly different in some way. Not in a way that I immediately noticed. I just noticed that in the release notes, but it does look nice. I mean, the activities, I have it set up so that the hot corner in the top left shows you your activities view. So it explodes all your windows and you see all your workspaces on the left. So that's a feature I use. So I like that. So it's nice. I don't use the tiling functionality that they like to tout a lot. Mainly because I don't know, it just doesn't come naturally to me. That super keyboard centric layout. I'm about 50% keyboard, 50% mouse kind of guy. So I don't really, you know, I find it hard to, it's a kind of an effort for me to get into that tiling window mentality. So it's not something I've ever stuck with. So, but I can certainly see the benefit of it, you know? But yeah, so I can't really speak to that so much in Pop OS, but you know, it is clever. It is very well documented. They've got their list of shortcuts that you can access quite easily, and it's very nice.
Anyway, maliciously or anything like that, I mean, I power to them and they seem to be making great strides in the direction that they're going in. Is Pop OS just really has never appealed to me the same way that Elementary has never really appealed to me. It's just going off in the direction that, and some of the struggles that Shane's was talking about, I'm like, yeah, I kind of want a computer to work the way I intuitively want to interact with the computer, not necessarily if I'm curious I will try new things. I'm not necessarily saying I'm stuck in my ways, but I just, if it's too outside of my comfort zone, I tend to not stick with it in terms of desktop environments, certainly. Yeah. For a prolonged period of time. So
I call that the KDE effect for me.
Well, it's probably the reason why I've stuck with KDE for the longest time now. I tend to stick with Cinnamon when I'm on GTK, and KDE would be the ones that I, so you can imagine those are the traditional Windows layout type paradigm where there's a taskbar at the bottom and then there's a menu towards the bottom left, even though I do use keyboard launchers, so K-Runner on KDE and then U-Launcher when I'm on GTK. But yeah, the tiling aspect of that, I bar window snapping where I can drag it around with the mouse and then it's kind of snaps into halves or quadrants, and I use that on Windows when I'm in work as well. Bar that, then I don't really use them.
Just as you were saying that, I was actually trying out in Papa West to see if it did the snapping windows into quadrants on the screen that you mentioned, and it doesn't do that. And that's something I miss about Cinnamon. I believe Cinnamon does it.
Yeah, Cinnamon does do it, and so does KDE. Not sure if XFCE. I think XFCE does halves. I'm not sure if it does quarters.
GNOME does halves, but I'm sure you can make it do quarters if you want it to.
And I just did an experiment here. KDE straight out of the box does halves and quarters.
That sounds like a drug deal. We do halves and quarters.
But there is an extension for GNOME called Gtile if you want something a bit more power. So I hit super enter and I get a grid on screen and I can move and resize the window with a more flexibility. It's actually very easy. You just need to use the arrow keys. It's one of the nicer extensions.
Completely not related, but just the fact that Shane was doing a bit of a Dublin accent there reminded me of something that was posted on the Dublin subreddit. Was apparently the Dublin accent was voted as the sexiest accent amongst the UK and Ireland. Like, so those are the people that they polled, and so it was posted on Dublin, the Dublin subreddit.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd go sexiest. I mean, if you're not from Dublin, I mean, I thought people outside of Dublin couldn't stand Dubliners.
I don't know about Dublin accents, but particularly over in North America, Irish accents are apparently there. Apparently, you'll get quite a few phone numbers in a bar if you go and walk into certain parts of the US with an Irish accent.
See, I don't know about that because I've been to America on a couple of different occasions and over the last 10 years or so, and that's not really been my experience. Like, you go to some far off places, like maybe the depths of Florida, like I did at one point, and yeah, you do get a bit of that, but you're kind of scared because everyone's very direct. It's like Americans have this kind of confidence that Irish people are not used to.
Oh yeah.
And they're just like straight in your face, and it's like, oh, whoa, 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 okay, back off, man. It's like, I just want things to be chill here.
Wait until at least the third date for
It's like, where is your shame? No, not at all. I mean, but like, that's what it feels like.
Don't you know we're all innocent? Don't be doing any of that shit.
Yeah. So but like that hasn't been my experience in America. Like, they hear my Irish accent and go, "Oh, you're from Ireland. That's nice." And then that's kind of the end of it. Like,
yeah, that was my impression when I was over in Canada for a while, and my impression of that was it was an interesting conversation point of, "Oh, you're from Ireland. Oh, cool."
Yeah, yeah. It's not as big a deal in Canada for some reason. Anyway, I think we should get on to some Linux news. Well, it's not so much news, but it's something I added to the show notes because I spent the last couple of days messing about with it, so I thought I would mention it on the podcast, is StreamPy. The StreamPy is basically a software that you can put on your Raspberry Pi, and you can combine it with the touchscreen and basically have yourself an Elgato Stream Deck alternative. And an Elgato Stream Deck is, for those who don't know, it's basically a very fancy macro keyboard, and each button has a screen behind it, so you know that you can change what's on the buttons and like in the software, and you can have different pages of buttons and everything, and it's really, really powerful, and it ties into the APIs of all sorts of applications, so you can program this thing to do all kinds of things. So it's really, really powerful. It's mainly aimed at Twitch streamers and game streamers and that kind of thing. That's not my world at all. I'm not into that at all. I'm very interested in the functionality of it and kind of the automation and the nerdiness of it. Like, that's what I want. So I spent the last couple of days setting mine up. I posted a video about it in the Telegram chat, actually. I suppose I can post more if there's any demand for that. But the It's really, really, really cool. I really can't say enough about it. It's I've just configured like some basic shit. Like I'll go through what I've configured on my one. So it's just sitting here like a little console next to my mouse, touchscreen, and the latency is blazing fast. Like I touch a button and on the screen and it just happens on the computer instantly. It's really, really satisfying. So I've just configured like my email to just open up. I've configured a screenshot tool that calls my screenshot application of choice and just is ready to go for me to just drag the mouse and take the screenshot and save it. I have now this kind of fucked up on me, but like I have two controls to switch between my speakers and my headphones. And I did that via, I think it's PACTL, PA control, pulse audio control, basically a command line tool to switch your audio sync or your output, basically, between the speakers and the headphones, because I have both plugged in. Like I had the headphones plugged into the audio interface and the speakers are plugged directly into the sound card. So, yeah, so it's like, it's a bit of a ball ache to have to go click settings, blah, 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 switch between your audio output. So it's always something that annoyed me. So I got that working. It kind of broke today because I realized that the index numbers that are assigned to each audio output change dynamically each time you log in and out. So now I have to find a way to tie it directly to that sync, as they call it in Pulse Audio. So yeah, that's my odyssey. Really cool little piece of software. If you can get together the money for the Raspberry Pi, for the touchscreen, I got a lovely little case with a stand that you can pivot and tilt it at different angles. It's gorgeous. If you can get your hands on all that stuff, definitely give it a try, because it's super nerdy and it's super powerful.
One of the videos that you shared in our internal chat amongst ourselves was just a big defect. This is amazing. I'm so excited about this. Was he had a Linus Tech Tips video right in the background. It's like he's just pausing it and then playing it again just from the stream deck. And he's like, Linus, no Linus, Linus, no Linus, Linus.
No, actually, what I was doing, I was playing the video constantly, and I was actually demonstrating what I talked about there. It was the speaker and the headphone audio, switching them. So it was sweet, because I have two nice speakers. Like, I got some good speakers off Tinternet, just because I love me music, so I need good speakers. And then I have the audio interface and the headphones for when I'm doing the podcast and editing the podcast. So, and also recording it. So I need to switch between headphones and speakers quite often. So it's a genuine need for me. So that's why I was so excited to get that working.
As somebody who literally struggled with that just before we started recording the podcast, I know how you feel of the whole thing of it. One program, you've manually switched to your audio to the right one that you want. And then another program has picked up the default, and the default is not the one that you want. So then you have to manually check
exactly.
It. Because literally, we're using Jitsi for this chat amongst ourselves, so we can see each other, we can wave at each other, and react to each other. Jitsi has a nice thing of down at the bottom, you can manually pick what audio interface you want to use. So I'd all that set up, then realized that Audacity was set to what my computer was picking up as the default audio interface. So Audacity was recording my webcam mic. So then I had to go and hunt into my KDE settings, manually change the default to the audio interface that I wanted. Then Audacity was able to pick up the one that I want. So yeah.
Oddly enough, I found KDE is the best at that for me. That's the one main thing I liked about KDE actually, was that the ease of switching your audio sources, like the way it worked from the system tray, I just thought was great. And it always worked reliably, way more reliably than GNOME based DEs.
You can use Bubble Control, which is the kind of GUI version of the PACTL tool that you were talking about, and that works across, obviously. And what I do before we record, I just disable any other input and output apart from the audio interface. So that just clears it all out, and you can do that in Power Control. You just switch the whatever you know. I have got the in the configuration tab. I have got the built-in audio profile off, and that just disables it completely. And there is no way, or there shouldn't be any way that anything picks up anything apart from the audio interface that I use.
I feel like an idiot. Shane just gave me a today I learned. I was literally hunting into the KDE settings every single time to do that. And then when Shane says, yeah, you just do that from the taskbar, I was like, wait, can you? Oh. I'm just literally looking at it going, yep, that interface, that exact thing that I was digging into the settings is right there. I can literally, I'm not going to do it now because we're recording the podcast, but I can see.
And if I remember rightly, it's not just volume sliders, but it's also just mute buttons as well.
Yeah, no, everything is there. And and amazing. Also the toggle button right beside which one you want, so you can, exactly the same thing that I was digging into the settings for is the exact same interface, but it's replicated there nicely in the taskbar. Mm-hmm. So that is super handy. So thank you for sharing that.
Yeah. That's one thing I loved about the KDE was how you could, like, the ease of controlling your audio inputs and outputs. I found it way better than GNOME. Just to harken back to my earlier comments, we will put a link to it in the show notes. I want to see everybody check out StreamPy and put a link to the GitHub in the show notes, because I think it's a great project and I'd love to see it improve and see more eyes on it. So that about wraps it up for this episode. If you want to get in touch with the Linux Lads, you can go to linuxlads.com/contact. We're on Twitter, Mastodon, we're on Telegram mainly. That's our main channel. If you join the Telegram group, you can also...
We're also in Matrix.
Oh yeah, also I keep forgetting to say we're on Matrix and IRC as well, and they're bridged to the Telegram group, so, you know, your choice. And whatever you want to use, tell us. If we're not on it, we will try to be on it and try to link it somehow. We don't want to exclude anyone based on their app of choice. But if you would like to support the Linux Lads, you can go to linuxlads.com/store/donate if you want to just give us money without getting anything in return. You don't have to give us money though. The main thing you can do is maybe if you're listening to us on YouTube, like and subscribe. If you're listening to us on Spotify, follow us. If you're listening to us on iTunes, give us 5 stars or a review. If you're listening to us on anything else, just go, yay, I like this, and like jump up from your seat in the bus and tell everyone. Don't take your mask off and don't touch anyone.
So smash the like button and don't forget to ring the bell.
Exactly. That's about it for this fortnight. I'm Shane and I have been joined by my co-hosts, Mike and Connor.
Bye.
I never know what to say at this level, so bye.
Goodbye.